We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless. So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time, Letter 21, the Easter eggs in Season 2 that we're covering. And this has been a great journey in digging in and finding biblical themes, little Easter eggs, some of them very overt, some of them pretty subtle, that C.S. Lewis incorporated into the writing of each of these letters. And here we are in Letter 21, and there's some great lines in here that brings to up some great scripture around the whole idea and the concept of we don't own anything. We enter this world naked. We leave this world alone. We don't take anything with us. Put all that you want in a box and bury it 6 feet under, but we don't take it with us. It's just there rotten at that point in time. But Galen, you found something that I agree with you, is clearly the theme, the Easter egg in this one.
Yeah, some of these we get a concept or an idea that's in scripture, and then sometimes we get like an exact verse that C.S. Lewis had in mind. So let's dive into it, and then we'll unpack kind of the broader context, because there's a couple of other great passages that came to mind. But this is, you're talking about this sense of ownership, and really this letter is really just about like silly and petty selfishness. You know, it's my time. I shouldn't be bothered by anybody. Oh, that annoying person that came to talk to me, I don't want to have to deal with them. Or I don't want to have to pursue chastity because it's my life and my body and everything.
My feelings, my choices.
Right. It's, you know, it's this petty selfishness. And it's also good. Like some of these, the Screwtape Letters, some of them are really deep. And we talk about how Satan tempts us and distorts sexuality and deep vices and things like that. And some of them are also just really petty. Like Satan can exploit anything. Quick little, you know, lesson there. But he says in here, he's talking about a man that says, you know, much of modern resistance to chastity comes from men's belief that they own, and he has own in quotation marks, own their bodies. In other words, why should I have to not pursue sexual relations? Why should I have to like restrict myself and discipline myself? It's my body. I can use it for whatever I want. Like there's a sense in the flesh, and our previous letters talked about sexual temptations. Even a good Christian guy might be tempted to think that, you know, I'm a human being just like everyone else. And it's my body anyway. Well, Paul actually dealt with this exact same thinking when he was writing to the Corinthians, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, basically dealing with the exact same carnality going on in the church of Corinth, and there is some bad sexual stuff. Paul writes, he says, or do you not know, all you guys who are being nasty and dirty and wanting to do whatever you want in the Corinthian church, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? And he says exactly, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God with your bodies.
You know, it's also a case of not just with your body, but everything. The more claims we make on possessions and time and other people, eventually, because you don't really own any of them, you don't take any of it with you, and in a lot of ways, you don't even control most of it. And we see that with wildfires, we see that with tornadoes and hurricanes that come through and destroy everything. You don't own any of this stuff. It's just fleetingly there for the moment it is. And there's a great line where people say, think about your life you have now. Go forward 100 years. None of your family will live in that home. The car you drive will be gone. That all your memories will be erased. No one will know of you other than maybe a bookmark in some timeline of life. And even right. If you create a lot of the, because creation of, you know, art and the things we do, you know, books, all of that can disappear very, very quickly as well. And the more we try and hold on to all of that stuff, the more miserable and disappointed you become.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hence, like Scrooge, that with a, you know, the Christmas story in there with Mr. Scrooge trying to hold on to everything. The, you know, it's a story that's been told by Christian authors and Christian filmmakers for the longest time, which is just be grateful for what you've got, be charitable with what you've got, try not to hoard everything, because at the end of the day, you're not going to take it with you as well. And then what's it all worth?
Right. Just a lot of energy clinging to things in this life, you know, and not really understanding the things that really matter and the things that are going to matter in the life to come, which is why it's, you know, it's, I think there's two aspects of this conversation. One is like humility and like stop and smell the roses. Let's focus on the things that really matter. But then also he uses that same line, trying to deceive men to say that my time is my own. And you like, nothing belongs to us. My kids are not my kids. My money is not my money. My energy is not my energy. The days of my life do not belong to me. They're all gifts from the Lord that Jesus bought and Jesus redeemed. And Jesus, I have life in Jesus because of what he did. So now I'm just a steward. And Dave Ramsey popped up in something on one of my videos or social media or something. Dave Ramsey is a big guy, and his with money and finances and how to like budget and do all this stuff. And he says, he makes it really clear when he's talking about wealth, when he's talking about resources and marital couples, it's not your money or her money. It's the Lord's money. And he does a good job of understanding it all belongs to the Lord and explains it really well. And we just have to be stewards of what God has given us. So when he talks about, you know, we're focusing on being greedy with our money or greedy with our time or selfish with our sexual desires, Jesus Christ has bought it all. And it will all belong to him one day. It says, for from him and through him and to him is everything. Surely to God be the glory alone. My life is not my own. It says in Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things, and to God be the glory forever. And I think it's so important to realize at the end of the day, everything we have is bought by Christ for Christ and is going to be crowns casted at the feet of Jesus. And it's a healthy perspective to try to keep in our minds in this life, because it's easy to get caught up in, you know, silly little selfishness.
And Galen, think of this. By Jesus buying all that on the cross for us, it makes it all valuable. And if you have a conversation with someone who is an atheist or has no faith, they'll be like, yeah, this is just like, you just enjoy it for what it is and it doesn't mean anything. And they actually use that saying, it doesn't mean anything. You just die, you're just gone. But Jesus gives it all meaning, because now our lives are valuable. Our life is worthy and it's worth it because of him buying it. And when you give that glory to God because you accept the fact that Jesus bought it, now all of a sudden your life has meaning, your life has value, and death is not the end.
Right. In fact, it's really kind of the, you know, the beginning in a sense. And it's, yeah, you know, it's not the end in the sense that you lose all things, but it's the finish line of all things can be used for God. Because I think he also makes a big point in this letter that Satan is vying for power just as much as God is. Satan is trying to get everyone to say your time, your energy, your money, your sexuality, that's all something that I want to use for my glory. He's going to try to pull us away. But the idea of God is it doesn't belong to you. You just need to be a steward of it and use it for the Lord's glory. And Jesus is vying for power and attention and worthiness and worship, and so is Satan. And your life is going to be utilized to serve one of those two masters. Be very clear on what it is. It's very easy to be deceived, but I think it's really clear. Jesus and Satan are both vying for power and worship. Don't forget who bought you.
Right. And I've always been someone who will say God numbers your days. And there's the scripture that idea comes from. And I think it's so true because we don't know our last day. We have no idea how long we're going to live for, how long our children, our wife, our friends are going to live for, but God does. And their choices that are made within there. And again, that goes to that idea that we do not own even our time and use it well, live well. And I love what you said about being stewards, because I've always said about my children that God gave me them to steward. We said it in the last episode that women incubate children, men don't create children. It always drives me batty when I see these men going around beating their chests and going, I made 5 children with 7 different women. It's like, huh? You didn't make them.
Right.
I give you a Rubik's Cube, you'd have a problem. And that's not even close to as difficult. So it's amazing how they all honestly roll on the science. It's like, yeah, but you're not even applying science to it. You're just a loose cannon at this point in time. And yeah, and think about it, we don't own our children. Not that the government owns them either, though. Because I think by us saying we don't own them children, we don't want the government to step in and say, well, we own them and we'll craft them.
It's like I said, Satan is vying for power too. So Jesus says, I own it and you can have it, but steward it for me. It's mine and I'll give it to you to steward, or someone else is going to step in and say, well, I'll take them. And Satan's knocking at the door, always ready to take anything you're willing to give over to him.
Yeah. When we covered this letter the first time around, we actually quoted the line out of Ecclesiastes 5:15, which is, as he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. You go to your grave with nothing. So all of this, you have to make a choice. How am I going to steward all of these gifts that I've been given? How am I going to steward my time, my ability to help people, my ability to comfort people? All of this is a challenge for you. You can either be selfish. Right. Or you can be charitable. They really become the two options laid before us.
Right.
So yeah, they're great thoughts. Letter 21, Screwtape Letters podcast, confronting evil in our time. Yeah, I challenge everyone out there, stop using the word my for everything in your world. Be more of, look what God gave me, and now what am I going to do to glorify God through all these gifts that we've been given? Mm. So yeah, great little Easter egg in there. A great little way for you to think about the world in a different way. Think about your time, your possessions, your family, your children, all the blessings that you've got and you've been given. So until next time, Screwtape Letters podcast, confronting evil in our time. And we'll see you next time for letter 22.